the Muskie 360 podcast, Jay Bird.
There he is, Steve.
I am so sorry to hear about your current legal troubles.
What? No, what now?
Jay got popped selling weed to the blue hairs down at the bingo hall.
Oh, come on now. Anyway, where'd that come from? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Hello. Freaking down there, down there at the bingo hall, just slinging. So, anyway.
They got a bingo hall in St. Germain, don't
I guarantee,
joke.
Dude, if there, I've never seen it, but if there's not a bingo hall in the Northwoods, I'll eat your shoe.
We're going when you come up next month.
Are you serious? We should.
Yeah, we're going, man. You're going to be like, bingo!
Oh, heck. We will, dude. Imagine. Just think here for a second. Put in dreamy music. The wonderful people will meet at Northwoods Bingo.
Yeah. They're not going to know what hit them.
Find out what day of the week is. We will film it, and we will go. That is amazing. Okay. So, anyway.
Yeah.
You had some rocking and rolling conditions over the weekend. You were out on the J-Mobile. What was cooking there, baby?
Oh, briefly. Yeah. Real windy weekend again. Go figure. Hello. Yeah, today was a high of 54.
Really?
With wind. Yeah. So. They got a frost advisory.
Come on.
I'm not kidding,
come
man. Yeah, they're saying bring in the rutabaga. Cover the rutabaga at the very least.
Folks,
you don't want that to freeze up on you.
Get your yard and hunch over your strawberries.
Yes, sir.
they're the elder. Think about the elderly that are right now over top their perennials, Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's not panic time, but it's close.
It's close, folks. Don't take the gun out of your mouth, but we're almost there. Don't do it, Henry. Anyway.
Yeah.
Son of a gun. Jay, I was looking today. I peeked around. I was trying to find follow-up. So, a couple months ago, we ran this intro, and it was literally, a couple people asked me about it. It was the literal newscast from the Northwoods about this guy that finds the gift card of... What was the dumpster card of destiny you called it?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
He finds
it was a Menards gift card. There. Yeah.
And he claims in a dumpster, and now he's being, as the reporter said, an arrangement in April.
Yeah, arrangement.
We call them arraignments down here. Jay's had quite a few of them over the years.
And but, you text me once a week just about, it's like, hey, any follow-up news on that piece? And I have looked and looked and
not
looked,
yet,
and I can't
folks.
Find anything on it. But.
We will bring you the latest break in Northwoods news once we find out what happened to this guy that found the dumpster gift card of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying, Jay. It eats me up. Literally 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake straight up. What happened?
It's a great story. And it was a great piece.
It's
yeah.
the most Northwoods thing I've ever heard. Anyway, speaking of the greatest Northwoods event of all times, the Muskie Shop Bash is when, Jay?
July 20th. That's a Saturday.
And where
starts
is
around
it?
Noon. It's at the Muskie Shop in Minocqua,
Wisconsin. Where else
Wisconsin.
Would it be there, ding dong, eh?
Yeah, our newly even more expanded parking lot. You haven't seen it. It is huge. So, we got a giant spread PA system. The whole works, you know. It's going to be great. 30-some vendors, close to 36 vendors, including Figure Eight, Muskie right. Mayhem. I mean, Muskie Innovations, all the guys that, you know, like Shimano, Daiwa, mm-hmm. Akuma, you know, the big guns that that have all the rods and reels and St. Croix and list goes on and on. There's a bunch of them. So there's going to be massive specials. And it's like, I don't know if anyone's going to leave up empty handed too with, in terms of our free raffles, because we've got a lot of stuff to give away. So we'll figure out an efficient way to give away lots of lures. They're mainly lures. You haven't seen what's coming in, Steve, but a bunch of cool stuff and experimental stuff from some of these guys, you know, like Toothy Tough sent a little grab bag just the other day.
Ooh.
And some cool soft plastics.
You
You're not getting any
bag.
Of them, by the way. Mm-hmm. I knew it.
Freaking, I get what I want from Dan. I can just text him, baby. Anyway, here's my thing. Let's talk about things that aren't happening that would be cool at the bash. Everybody gets a free boat. What else, Jay? So, <decent. laughs>
Dancing classes from Elmer.
Dancing classes for Elmer. What else do we have here?
From Elmer. Yeah.
From Elmer. With Elmer.
Well, everyone knows that if you've been to any one of the, three previous bashes, you know that Fred's cooking technique is off the charts. So you got Fred's wieners, Fred's brats, burgers. We've got our new collector's energy drink, Northwood's Hog Sauce.
Get high on the hog. What else, Steve? I was just thinking it'd be cool. What if we had cockfights?
Mm-hmm. We'd have to get some kind of enclosed pen, though.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Jim would go for that, because that gets messy.
We need to ask him, can we have rooster
fights? Right. Is that legal?
Where I'm at, I'm sure. I've never asked the legality.
The ones you've been to.
Sorry. I've been an idiot.
That sounds like a West Virginia thing, man.
Freaking back home, boys. I was born at the cockfights and I'll die at the cockfights.
Yep.
Anyway, God, the ADD is on fire, folks. Something I saw that showed up that gave me the heebie freaking jeebies, by the way.
Something that showed up, okay.
At the old Muskie shop, there is a black rice depth raider now.
Yeah.
It's black ice.
Black ice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My apologies.
Pretty cool.
That's kind of
cool. We got three more custom colors since we last talked that came in Thursday or Friday. And
they have that on the 8-inch straight. Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, 8-inch straight, jointed, 6-inch straight, jointed, shallow raiders.
Ghost walleye and black ice. Buddy, I'll
Ghost walleye's cool.
Yeah.
Faint scale pattern on there. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. They look pretty. I like it.
I like the way you talk, Jay.
Joe gave him all thumbs up. He's like, I'm going to get me some at the bash.
Oh, he didn't give you like a emoji with a guy wearing sunglasses?
He only speaks in emojis. You know that. Text and stuff. Yeah, it's just, I can figure it out. I can decipher it. It's a series of kind of bizarre emojis that, you know, sometimes to some people they seem out of place, but to me, makes perfect sense, Steve.
Anyway, well, he'll be at the bash.
Get to the bash.
Yeah, Joe Buku will be there. You bet he will.
Joe Hoop.
It's going to be great.
Joe Buku? What did you say? Tim Buku?
Joe Buku.
Tim Buku. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, the big old rubber video, it's on the app.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's on the Muskie Shop. Your buddy Steve Jay, I didn't even tell you this yet. Put a couple fish that we haven't used from the Muskie Shop on the app of some little stuff. If there's something you want to see something different, throw a couple little quick little edit detos on there just for some extra summer content.
Okay.
So you got that. And then we've got, like I said, we're rocking and rolling on these big videos. I'm excited about it. I know we've got glide baits and we've got like a spinner bait thing working on. And if there's anything you want to see, let me run this by you, Jay, and everybody else.
Sure.
This would be as boring as watching paint dry. It's far less exciting than the cockfights.
Mm-hmm.
Something on boat control, like on the water. I know that sounds crazy, but my God, I get people asking. I don't know how we pull that off. I've had a couple Pepsis here, but maybe this summer we could talk boat control on the water. You know, I was thinking today, and we were able to score. I got a nice muskie in the boat. One of those things where, goodness gracious, man, I think catching a muskie starts with good boat control. You know, it's like first and foremost where, well, if we don't have our drift down or we don't have our pass down, what are we doing? But anyway, something to think about. But if there's anything you guys want to learn more about over this summer into the early fall about like deeper subjects, I got some really nice messages from people this week. Thank you so much about the videos. But if there's anything like, hey, dude, you know, we've been listening to the podcast and we like to see a video on this, you know, because the podcast is first and foremost above all the video, you know, scuds, all the 12-year-olds that watch YouTube. But if there's anything you want to see, just shoot us a message. I'd love to work on it. And just like the podcast, maybe I got the right idea, maybe I don't, but we're doing it to it. Jay, I'm going to cut to it. We're going to get to the musky baits that matter, son. The meat grinder, okay. The slop donkey. I can't even remember the name of my own baits.
the tailgater
and the meat grinder. So we're going to gab with Don and Chuck from Figure Eight. Believe it or not, it's a conversation about bucktails and spinnerbaits. It's actually interesting. At least it was to me, because I drank through the entire thing, Jay.
Bring it on.
All right, my dudes. I have Don, the owner of Figure Eight Lure Company, and Chuck. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Steven?
I am
doing great.
I'm wet and cold and trying to drink a Pepsi here, trying to get warmed up. It was a heck of a day here. But I'll tell you what, your segue, it was perfect. Don said, hey, we need to talk on the podcast. And of course, smacked a nice one on the tailgater today. So your timing couldn't be better, buddy. So we're here in live. But what's going on at Figure Eight right now, guys? What's kind of the new, what's the skinny, what's going on at the Figure Eight Lure Company?
Well, guys, actually, we got a brand new series coming out this year, and I'm going to steal a little bit of Chuck's thunder, and it's what we call our Battle Series.
Mm-hmm.
And the Battle Series is nothing more than taking some of our existing lineup and adding a single number 9 fluted blade to it.
Yeah.
And it's been doing outstanding. Chuck, I'm going to let you take the ball.
Well, the Battle Series, it kind of has been several years actually in the coming for me and doing some research, shall we say, and just taking a look at how single blades have been producing compared to tandem blades, whether it's the same blade, different size, mm-hmm. different design blades, whatever the guys are going with now and everything. And the single blade as day in and day out actually outperformed the double blade. Am I going to say that the double blades are going to a thing in the past that guys should not be throwing them? Absolutely not. I mean, they are going to have their days and everything, but my single blades have done far and away better than double blades.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the number 9 fluted, I mean, Don had, with the Figure Eight and everything here, we have the fluted blade has been kind of the Figure Eight thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic blade, and we just bumped up the size to a number 9. It gives a little bit different thumb vibration, a little bit bigger profile, so you can put the bigger blade on a single skirt that we use, and you still have the bigger profile without losing a whole bunch of weight to it and everything. So
I think what's interesting and a lot of people have not delved into it too terribly much. They go, more is better when it comes to blades. Whereas a single blade where it's not offset by the surface area of a counter blade is actually a more defined thump. And most people simply don't realize that. And I think that's what you're getting at, where, you know, everybody's looking for what's next. And I think what's hilarious, at least from my purview, is that what has always worked has now been overlooked. You know, it's kind of overshadowed, where everybody's throwing 10s. Now everybody's throwing 8-9s. Everybody's throwing all these blades. And you go, the new school, the new batch of muskies, especially on high pressure areas, they didn't spend they didn't spend 20 years seeing single blades, where, you know, what was the industry standards, now kind of a sleeper again, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. 100%. That's why I've done a seminar for the Between the Lakes chapter of Muskies Inc. up here.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what do you want to title your seminar? And I said, going back to old school.
Yeah.
And basically that's what it is. I mean, and you hit a good thing right on the head with, as far as your comment goes. I mean, these guys are double bladed minded. I mean, there's companies out there that they pushed, and they, you know what? They did a fantastic job of marketing it, and it catches fish like crazy.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but the guys that I talked to at the seminar, they said they actually have seen their numbers in of producing on the double blades starting to dwindle a little bit. And some of them kind of started thinking when I was doing my seminar, and they're like, yeah. And yeah, we had some nice residual sales after the the seminar because of that.
If you look at it, so it's I'm always pontificating muskies, as you know, Don, and just being a moron all around, is humans live slightly longer than muskies, so the trends are different in the way we perceive a trend, right? So 10 to 15 years is an entire life cycle for most fish. And you're going, oh, something that looks like my old eagle tail before that. You see what I'm saying? Like, old school is kind of gold right now, where you're going, they're not seeing those. Something I'll tell you that I just perceived looking at this, and obviously I love the figure eight stuff. So single blades to me are less surface area, therefore less lift. In conjunction with a rubber core skirt, we can now run deeper, faster, and have a different thump than pretty much anybody else on the water, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I totally agree with that. I really do. And, you know, even with where you actually even got a couple of them, the Orcrist and that is weighted, that you can get it down a little deeper, and it still has a good lift to it. It has a nice thump to it, and the action is outstanding. You're going to really enjoy it. It's not a hard lure to throw.
Right.
It's kind of going back to basics, for lack of better words. And let's face it, MEPS came out with the single bladed, even their musky killers and everything else, and they caught fish.
Yeah.
Now, we've all been part of musky clubs and everything else, and day in and day out, if you look at the records, because everybody's supposed to record, you know, what they caught their fish on, and that, you know, better than 75-80% of them have been caught on some type of spinner bait. And what we're doing is kind of coming in with a larger blade that is gonna take them by storm. It truly is, and I think we got the bases covered.
Yeah, well, it's something we're almost talking trends, and I said it last week, and I was just shit talking, but about bucktails, because the propensity or the angle that everybody's going for is like making a bait that you've done nothing other than like throwing a bait out and turning the handle in an even fashion. Everyone's trying to make baits that trigger fish that shouldn't be triggered through augmenting different blade combos and all this different stuff, right? Where if we have to really reinvent double blades that much, shouldn't we do something else? You know what I'm saying? Like it really, it's kind of like, are we really going to tweak our double blade game until the end of time? Or are we going to run out of combinations and now we need something that like kind of stands out completely? You know, does that make any sense? Because just like the angler efficiency is so much higher now. You know, we have way better equipment, we have way better stuff, that it boils down to why are we sitting here trying to make two blades work when one blade or a different design blade, a different vibrational profile is going to do the ticket. Another thing I point out just on that same tip, you add in, you know, the big grub off the back, which is also kind of moving water. What's the thought there? Is it like the grub a compliment as far as a vibrational profile? Is it a visual profile, vibrational profile, or... You know, what's the offset against the double blade thing there?
Yep. Yep. I think it's a vibration plus it's a visual aspect of it.
I went musky fishing once. Sorry. How does this idiot know what he's talking about? Fucking freaking retard. So anyway. Goodness. Now, I mean, that's just the thought, because I'm sitting here going, I'm looking here at the wall of shame in the bait cave, as we call it here on the podcast, and, you know, tons and tons of baits are hanging up, and I'm going, well, there's a bunch of eagle tails, you know, and they're buried behind piles of doubles, you know, double. And something that I'm always preaching is, we've got to always be fishing below the level of light penetration, right? Muskies are what? Shallow water, low light predators. They don't like the sun. They're like Gizmo from Gremlins. Bright light, right? So we don't want to be in the bright light, but yet we refuse to put down the two bladed bucktails that provide even more lift. So it's harder to get below the level of light penetration. And I think one thing that's lost on people, because Don, you're not a dumb guy. You're what, electrical engineer, correct?
I don't tell anybody.
Yeah, that. Don't. Well, I just did. To like 10,000 people. Anyway, Don makes my bucktails and runs a small prostitution gang. You know, that's That's far less shameful at the boat ramp, right? Anyway, but something that I just find like I'm beating my head against the wall is the explanation of surface area, right? And how the blades, the surface area, the blades affect running depth. I mean, you've been building bucktails and spinnerbaits for eons. Like, how do you see that when you're making different models of, like, let's say the same frame size, but the running depth on 9s versus 10s and things of that nature? Like, how do you accommodate for that, or how do you think about that in a design perspective?
Well, actually, what happens is that you kind of hit it on it earlier, is the amount of lift that you're getting. One of the keys that I'm seeing right now is that a lot of the reels are faster than what you really need.
Amen.
And I mean that sincerely. I mean, and whether, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but you know, some of the gear ratios that are out there. Thank
you. The stop sign is out and the beeps are happening.
But Steven, sorry, as you kind of had mentioned, though, you're trying to get it to a level. That's, all right.
Yeah.
And if we got reels that are going too damn fast,
I mean,
we might as well be starting to create buzz baits.
Yeah. And buzz baits are for losers, as we all know. More on that later, folks.
But the whole goal is to try getting it into a zone.
Right.
Okay. And with summer coming in, okay, there's going to be thermal climbs and everything else that we're going to be playing with. And the objective is that you can't be moving it and skimming it across the top of the water. You got to keep it down lower, and then you don't need an ultra fast reel.
Well, here's the thing is because I sort of straddle the old school and the new school, always have, probably not always will, but right. So when I started guiding, the coolest reel I could buy was an Abu Garcia, right? C3. And I had the 6501 lefty. Actually, when we started the podcast, I was still throwing those. And I caught tons of fish on that thing. Then the super reels came out, and guess what I did? I bought the fastest reel humanly I could, right? It was like, what is this rocket ship reel? And I went, I'm not catching muskies anymore. And I went, I need to slow down. Because... yeah, it's funny because removed from like figure eight baits and just a general concept, something I'm preaching on the podcast all the time. Yes, a muskie can shoot up from 30 feet at depth and smash your bucktail, right? That you're burning on the surface. However, the vibration would have to reach him or a visual profile, so there's no sensory input between you and 30 feet, right? Proximity.
Proximity.
How do we have a bait that's running, not, I hate the word strike zone, but in a zone that is actually stimulating the lateral line while providing a visual profile and not screeching across the surface? And I think you nailed it, because you go, you pair like a figure eight bait. Like, again, I make a living with the Steve's freaking meat grinder. That's been my bread and butter for eons. That with a 5.3-1 reel, and you're just like, turn the handle, fish on end, you know? So I'll allow you to elaborate even further, but I'm totally there where we go, you cannot have a 7.1-1 8 gear thing with double blades. I mean, they're all buzz baits at that point.
And that's what happens on it. And you had alluded to the meat grinder, and the meat grinder is actually a perfect example of a bait that you should just sit there and reel stop, reel, stop. Mm-hmm. Let the fall action of it do its work. I mean, and that's what's going to stimulate, and it's going to keep it into a strike zone. The meat grinder, and even now that new tailgater that we came out with this year is a perfect example of something that you want, I mean, to sit there and you don't have to beat yourself up reeling it in.
No, turn the handle.
Just turn the handle and let it do itself. And I think that's kind of one of the objectives that we came out with, was trying to sit there and, you know, play with the average Joe, for lack of better words, you know.
Right.
You know, that somebody that still wants to catch that fish, and, you know, and as long as the blade is turning, or if it's doing its job, and whether we're yo-yoing a meat grinder in or a tailgater in, it's going to do its job. And if, you know, the whole idea of like the tailgater came from years ago. My grandmother, my grandfather was a great fisherman, but he'd be sitting there just telling her to bob up and down with this sit there buzz bait, mm-hmm. you know, for lack of better words, and just sit there and jig it.
Something will happen. Something will happen.
You know?
Yeah.
And they caught fish, you know, and, you know, why are we reinventing the wheel? You know, and kind of as you had alluded to earlier, yeah, we can sit there and go with offset blades, you know, with different size and have a different vibration. And I do think they work, but, you know, let's get back to basics.
And the other basic is this. This is the only company we can 100% I can stand behind that doesn't use Korean child labor. Wouldn't you say that? Everybody else is suspect. I can't say it from my own personal experience, right? You know, you go, I don't know about everybody else, but I say that jokingly. Don, you guys pretty much custom build everything, right? Or
yes,
or do you have a sweatshop? Like some other
basement,
like some other bait manufacturer. Yeah. We'll go to the attack ad portion of the interview. Some musky bucktail companies use child labor.
No, we're not a big factory by any means, and it's people like Chuck or even yourself, Steve. You know, where all of a sudden you guys got an idea. You know, it's like, hey, can you do this? And then I'll sit there and take a look at it and say, yeah, you know, this is possible. I mean, you got this one right now that's kind of got me stumped, that crucifix.
Musky crucifier.
I've got that thing hanging in my basement on a pegboard, and I'm like, okay, how in the heck can I do this?
It will work. It will just be, oh, God. So let me tell the story on that. So it's like, called Don. I said, hey, this is how this relationship worked. I use your baits all the time. Make me some, right? You know, I got this bait. I'm sick of making them. Make them. Okay. Right. Super chill. So we do the meat grinder, right? And then we get into it. And he's like, what other ideas do you have? And I send you the crucifier or whatever the heck this thing is. It works. That's the scary thing. You're like, but what do we do with it? It's like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. They never thought about, they only thought about could they, not should they. Right? They're like, and it's so cool because you just come up with stuff. Chuck, I think one of your contributions to figuring you, the bomb, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I've been making that thing kind of like yourself. I mean, it's for probably, let's see, God, I'm 56, so 35 plus years I've been making the design, just modifying spinner baits. And I finally got sick of modifying. I just asked Don if he was interested. And he said, sure. Yeah. And what it is.
Oh, yeah, let's call up Don.
Call up Don. He'll make them. Yep, dummy. He'll make them. Yeah. Sick of making these shits.
But it's the only spinner bait, which floored me because in 35 plus years, I've been watching for a company to finally do it. No one ever did. Uh-huh. Is a double blade, but it runs off of two swivels, one above each other. Mm-hmm. And as the blades spin, because on the top blade of a spinner bait, it's like kind of rotating and everything and back there. Now you have two of them and it's hitting. You've got the noise of the bait, the blades hitting each other. You got the thump, mm-hmm. The vibration. They actually will stop, pause, and reverse spin. They kick back and forth and kind of almost like a injured bait fish type swim to them. And they've done really, really well. They've done like really, really well. And I, of all the ones I had made over the years, 35 plus years, I've never ever fished with anyone and used that bait. I only used that when I was fishing alone. So
not anymore. Listen, I fish with about, you don't have to hide it. I fish with probably about 4,000 people with heat shrink on Don's blades with everything cut off of them and nobody ripped it off. Like, really? Like, come on, dude. A monkey could make a freaking meat grinder, you know? But here we sit. But I think a lot of it, the reason to talk about the bomb is, you know, conditions, situational stuff where you're just doing something so different. I mean, that's what I love about figure eight, what everybody's working on is just like, okay, here's situational baits. Here's baits that just do something different. Even when it's like, I think a lot of new anglers or anglers that maybe come from the bass or pike world, they see a spinner bait and they go, it's a spinner bait. And you go, it's truly like the Swiss Army knife of musky fishing, in my opinion, you know, like,
yeah.
Drop shotting it. We're joking about, we have no better name than the crucifier of this thing. It's just like, could it be a spinnerbait that's a jig? Who knows? You know, could you possibly just snag bodies of the dead off the bottom with it? We'll find out at some point. Of just Don doesn't say no. He says, we might make that work. So, you know.
And he usually does.
Yeah, make it work.
And the thing is that between Chuck and yourself, Steve, you guys throw ideas at me and I can sit there and stare at it long enough and it's like, yeah, we can do this.
But never as should we.
I mean, sometimes you guys are throwing some wild things at me, but
I hear the 40-ounce spinnerbait troll. No.
Well, that's a good example. I'm just like, where in the hell can I get this weight?
Yeah, freaking, it's a downrigger with a blade. But what do you do? Now, I mean, it's just, I think a lot of the stuff you guys are cranking out and I laugh and I try to throw my hat in the ring because Don's goofy enough to make my dreams come true. But you know, it's, I think a lot of what you produce is like, it's not glitz or glamour, it's just musky driven based on experience, wouldn't you say, for both of you?
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely. Yep. I mean, now what, you were just out in the Netherlands there earlier this year and you were playing with the tailgater out there and
yeah.
Look at the northern that you guys caught out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. And
the video, you know, is forthcoming. Yeah.
And that's where the fun part comes in, is that you're seeing the success.
Yeah.
You know, based on, well, let's face it, it's all of your guys' designs in that, you know, you guys thought it out and saying, okay, let's try this. All right. Why not? And it works.
That's the funny thing. I think with blades, I mean, spinner baits in my mind have always been far more nuanced than bucktails, right? Because I mean, bucktails are about useless if you stop, right?
Yeah.
You can stop a bucktail and guess what's going to happen? Nothing good. You know, you can stop a spinner bait and you go, oh, I mean, so there's such a simple thing that can be modified are just tweaked forever. Like Dawn, I mean, it makes total sense with the bomb where you go, well, if I'm seeing pressured fish or negative to neutral fish that I've seen at all, yeah, these counter blades clacking and whacking and doing this weird stuff, that's going to be an insanely different vibrational profile. Or, you know, you look at the tailgater where I'm going, well, I need something for hillbillies to rip like a bulldog in about 3 feet of water. You know, I mean, what do you do? How do you make it? How do you make it work? But, you know, as far as the main stuff, obviously, we're talking about the single blade. What are some other standouts? What are some other things you're like, okay, a freaking trained monkey, if you could train a monkey to drive a tiller, what's the best figure eight bait that you get his hands on? What's going to be like the no brainer figure eight musky in the neck kind of bait?
Wow.
You got to train a monkey to drive a tiller first. So you got time. Not everybody jump at once.
Honestly, I think that the whole idea of like the boss is probably one of the best and easy baits to sit there and throw that anybody can throw it and still catch fish.
Yeah.
And that would include like the tailgater or the meat grinder. Yeah. I mean, and those would be, and they'd all fall right into it, and that anybody, the bomb. I mean, those would probably be the easiest ones that I personally would recommend for somebody getting right into it.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to catch a fish.
I mean, and then flat out, I mean, the meat grinder is a boss with minus one blade and a bigger blade is all. It's the same.
Correct.
It's the same bait. It's just like,
and all we're doing is with a number nine willow on that one there. And it's very simple. And it's a very simple bait, but whether it's falling, like you said, I mean, you can sit there and stop reeling that in.
And it's still working.
And it's still working. And that's what I love about that bait. I really do. I mean, it's still working and it's going to trigger fish.
Have you guys, either of you had, because I try to convey when I'm guiding about spinner baits, you know, especially the boss, I actually still throw like the mini boss just as is, you know, so. And I actually still throw some of the straight up boss, you know, in heavy cover, but something I'm trying to get guys to do is like, okay, if we exceed four turns in the figure eight, let's just free spool that thing. Let's dead stick. Have you guys done that with any of those baits or just yo-yo or?
Oh yeah. On all the spinner baits, I do that all the time.
Yeah. Bring it in. Oh, screw you. Dropping her down.
Yep.
It's such.
And for like you, Steve, like that you're guiding and you don't know what the people are. I mean,
buddy, I never know what's walking down the dock. It could be,
you got that right.
You have no clue. Yeah.
And to me, that'd be the easy. I mean, that's what I throw out there. First of all, if you want to catch fish and you don't know how experienced they are, I'd put them on that bait right away. I really would.
I've got piles of them I would say, you know, just from a guiding standpoint, back it up. Let's not put the caveat of guiding, because that sounds pretty highfalutin, right? From a patterning standpoint, a spinner bait, right? And I would say for any podcast listener, whether you got a figure eight bait or whether you got whatever, you know, maybe you made your own out of baling twine. A freaking spinner bait is going to allow so much versatility in your pattern, because I feel like my speed control is far, far easier to control with a spinner bait. You know what I'm saying? As far as the lift.
Oh, hell yes.
Where, you know, I've really got that, because I mean, it's funny, because like the next video, I think one of the next couple videos we're doing for Musky Shop is basically just a breakdown on spinner bait tactics, where you go, it doesn't sound sexy, but by God, there's a shit ton of shit you can do, you know, because
there's so much more that you can do with it, and you can drop it all the way down and lift it up.
I've caught
it all the way down and lift it up. You know,
I can't think of any bucktail fish I've caught jigging. You know, like, there's not a lot of exactly. Jig your double tens and see if that works out, or where. And I think it's one of those things where we're talking about old as gold, or, you know, old baits, or, you know, the kind of what was once work. I think spinner baits is one of those things like, yeah, it's been around for eons, but there's a reason it's been around, because the guys that know. And like you're saying, from a guiding perspective, I guess. Yeah, I mean, the first 10 casts on my boat, regardless of what they're eating, is typically a spinner bait. You're right. We could be on a pounder bite. Fish. Huh? Oh, heck no.
You're trying to move fish.
Well, my problem is this. We could be on like a solid like bulldog pounder bite, but I'm going, oh, let's see him throw the spinner bait first and see what happens. You know, and is it going to end up in the trees? You know, we can deal with that. But yeah, the versatility is there for sure. One thing, again, I'm not trying to freaking blow V8 for figure eight per se, but your price point. That's one thing. If you guys haven't checked out figure eight, very affordable, which is cool. I mean, with the custom stuff, or with some of this new big single blade stuff, I mean, you guys are coming in pretty dang competitive, wouldn't you say?
We're trying to. We really are. And both, you know, with the addition of Chuck on board right now, he kind of gives me an idea where we need to be. Mm-hmm. And he's out doing, like I said, he had mentioned before, going and talking to some of the different clubs out there. He has a great feel as far as where our price point needs to be. We don't have a great big factory. I mean, I don't have a factory in Vietnam right now. And
yet, but we are researching child labor, he says.
Yes. Yeah.
extensive R&D into where the cheapest child labor is. Sorry.
So we're but we are very open to any kind of ideas, and that's what's the exciting part about it. And you know, that whether it's yourself, Steve, or Chuck, all of a sudden you guys got some great ideas. I mean, I've got a couple other people that, you know, that we sponsored and everything else, and they're coming in with some great ideas as far as what they want to see, whether it's colors, whether it's what they'd like to see as far as more weight. Mm-hmm. And because we're a small company, we're able to kind of accommodate. Is this what you had in mind? Is this what you're thinking about? And that's actually the fun part. It really is. I mean, who would have thought, okay, what was it, a year ago we introduced, you know, the meat grinder?
Yeah.
And honestly, that thing took off better than anyone could have expected.
Yeah, it's great.
I honestly, it really did. It was by far, for Figure Eight Lure Company, was the number one selling lure that we had last year. And it was just simple going back and forth, trying to figure out what's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part of the whole game.
I really think you're nailing it, because I, you know, kind of alluded, like, it's on the water experience, like Chuck with the bomb, or like, I mean, dude, the freaking meat grinder, the tailgater shit, I've been fishing for years where I just buy your stuff before I knew, like, okay, well, here I got to do this shit again myself, you know, and just, you make it work. Yep. And you go, this is what catches fish, you know? And I think that's what's exciting about it. Instead of like, you know, it's not the, here's the new glitz and glamour bait we came up with, and we don't know if it catches fish, but it looks sexy. You know, no, this has been catching fish for a hot minute. Let me ask you this, and just sheer curiosity. I think for a lot of guys, they think bucktails and they think spinner baits and they think flashaboo. Or excuse me, they think bucktails and they think flashaboo, but they think they're completely okay with spinner baits having plastic skirts, but, you know, a bucktail, God forbid it has a plastic skirt. What's your take on that, and kind of how does that play other than, you know, a little extra weight? What's your thoughts?
Chuck, this one here is totally up your alley.
Well, the biggest thing is the action. The flashaboo compared to like the silicone skirting that we use, You compare that to the Marabou. You compare that to Bucktail. Every single one of them has a different action to it. Now you go into and you take a look at, okay, how is it, how are these skirting material, how is that affecting the depth that they're running at?
Mm-hmm.
With the silicone, can you run it high? Yep. But you can get it down into what we'll call the strike zone a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's, you get more flare, the big flare and everything on a, with a double blade in front of Flashaboo, as opposed to silicone. And, you know, is Steve, you hit it before, the muskie live, what, 12, 15, 18 years.
Yeah.
How long has the double bladed Flashaboo been popular? 20. It's been about 20 years. Okay.
Seen it.
Most of these guys are throwing double bladed Flashaboos. So, I mean, these fish are seeing it day in and day out. And especially it's just like, okay,
fresh
well, berries,
yeah.
Yep. And you get up into the Wisconsin, areas of Canada, Minnesota. I mean, where these fish have seen
they can pick them out by brand up there most of the time.
there goes
another Bookertail. I'll be damned.
Now you come in with something a little bit different and gives a little bit different action. Now you put a single blade in front of it. Now you're getting completely different. Mm-hmm. Than what these fish have been accustomed to seeing.
Yeah.
And I think that's why 20 years ago when the company came out with that double-bladed Flashaboo, it hammered fish.
Mm-hmm.
because it was different.
Yeah. Especially like you could theoretically, I mean, on some of these metro waters in Minnesota, this stuff, I mean, you're just not going to have the same action where most of the habitat range, believe it or not, is not highly pressured, but my goodness, Wisconsin. I mean, you think about Three Lakes Chang or Eagle Chang, the amount of bucktails that they're seeing and that they're all presented the same way. Here they come burning over the top. It all looks the same. It's just like, fool me once. Okay. But after that, these fish are checking out. And I like what you said though, because the running depth, I mean, you know, the rubber core doesn't, I mean, Flashaboo doesn't have a natural buoyancy like Marabou by any stretch of the imagination. But like you said, the puffing of the skirt at one time, that was important. I'll surge it a little bit and it's going to do it. What I've seen more so than anything, the trend pointing towards smaller profile or a thinner profile with a bigger vibration that's different.
Correct. It's a little more of a subtle presentation. And one thing too, I don't know if you're seeing what you're seeing in waters down there, but like our inland waters here are clearing up. Green mm-hmm. Bay is clearing up.
Oh,
inland
zebra waters everywhere. Yeah.
Yep. And I think, and I personally think that the different presentation, a little more subtle presentation, the less aggressive presentation is going to bode well for guys. And I think if they try it and they really take an honest look at it, I think they're going to definitely notice a difference, because I certainly did. And it wasn't a one day comparison. It wasn't a 1 week, one trip, 1 year. It was multiple years that this had held true.
Mm-hmm.
All in, and it's just like, okay, there's more to it than just a 1 year wonder type thing. So,
well,
but it's the single blades. And I think honestly going with a different style of skirting, like the silicone and the colors that we have are just killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're spot on. And you know, like you're saying, we can all agree that it takes a certain distance from a muskie to trigger them to even look right. And now we need a certain speed, and it's something I'm hammering on the podcast all the time. We have control of two things in fishing: depth and speed, right? That's it. So if you have a single blade, like on the new stuff that's coming out here, you have a single blade and we have a rubber core skirt and it's, you know, perfectly weighted, we can now achieve speed and depth easier than trying to slow roll. Because I think a lot of guys with the double blade, where they're failing is, you know, they got the double blades, there's too much lift, they just can't get below that level of light penetration where it's even perceivable, you know, where right. where, hey, you know, the difference a foot makes in musky fishing is shocking. And I think that until somebody sees that from themselves, like, you know, if you were going out in highly pressured waters, falling up other boats, you're going, well, they went through here, and Dom was saying with the high-speed reels, well, yeah, you threw at them, but you didn't throw anywhere near them. Right. It's just a totally different dynamic there for sure. Well, Don, I think you're showing up. You're going to be present at the Musky Shop Bash this year.
Yes, we are, and I look forward to it.
He's going to be Kevin, there.
We're going to go out and have a beer this year, aren't we?
Well, never. I'm a teetotaler. So yeah. freaking, I'll call my... But, you
actually,
know,
Chuck is going to be up there, too. And yep. With the new format for the Bash this year, we are going to be promoting, actually, the single blades this year, and that's what we're you know, we want to bring that out to the public. I mean, and the Bash has always been a great turnout.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
And it is fun. It really is. And that's one of the things that we're going to really kind of promote is, I mean, naturally we're going to still have the meat grinder and the tailgater and everything else there. But one of the things that we're going to bring out this year, as it is relatively new for us, is that single blade number 9. And I think you're going to really like it, Steve.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to throwing it, and especially chucking it in Canada. And let me ask you this. I believe you do custom orders as well. Am I correct on that? Like, yes. if somebody called you up and wanted something just ridiculous, or they're dreaming of something?
Oh, we you know what? And that's kind of the fun thing is that and Chuck has really kind of turned me on to that. Before, we were, you know, your typical fire tiger, walleye, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, let's take a look at, you know, adding some different colors, adding this blade over here and that. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun. And our whole lineup has completely changed to that point. And we're still using our basic lineup. But, you know, Chuck is saying, no, let's call this one here the Joker or what have mm-hmm. you, or the Green Perch or what have mm-hmm. you. And when I look at it, he's spot on. And he has, I mean, there's people that work with their left side of the brain. And I have to say that Chuck is, I mean, he's got to be an artist in his own way mm-hmm. that he sees it, you know, and, but to get back to your original question regarding custom, you know, if somebody wanted something that, you know, was totally off the wall, honestly, everything is made to order. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting on inventory. You know, typical lead time is, you know, 3 days.
Nice.
And, you know, we're going to put something together for you.
Yeah. If somebody is like, hey, I need a freaking Colorado number 12 on a spinner. Yeah. You know, that, I mean, because I think like we're talking about so many times you're dialed in on certain bites and you figure something out and you go, huh? You know, so if you're dreaming it, Don can make it, folks.
Well, we got a guy out in Colorado, and Colorado's really turning into Utah.
Mm-hmm. Utah.
And, oh, Tigers. And, yeah, dude.
Yep, and they're all Tigers. And there's a gentleman by the name of Howard Liskey that he's like, Don, I need this. I need this. Yeah. I need this. And Howard is throwing me more different ideas, and I'm like, okay, I kind of like that, yeah. You know, and it's going to be part of our regular lineup, you know, and he's been doing really well with the Tigers out there.
Oh yeah. So it's totally situational.
It's been good.
Very cool. Well, guys, check it out. You can check it out. What is the official website for Figure Eight right now?
It is now fishfigureeight.com. That's all one word.
Is that fish with a F?
Yeah, it's with an
okay,
L.
Okay. Just check it.
Yep.
Fishfigure8.com. Don will be at the bash. You can check it out. He's got all the stuff at the muskyshop.com there. If you're dreaming up something, that's how I know these knuckleheads. If you got a dream in your head, Don will probably say yes and how much. So anyway, guys, thanks for coming on the show. I look forward to talking again here real soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, that's when that clown prostitute left my apartment. It was absolutely bizarre night. It's just, I mean, yeah, I don't even.
Everybody's in it. I'm not here to talk about your Kings, dude. That's just
no, yeah. Okay.
Oh, shit, we're back on the air. Anyway, okay. So, folks, hello. That was a great talk. Musky frickin' Bates from Figure Eight. That's frickin' amazing. Wow, Don and Chuck, what do you say, Jay?
Knocking it out of the park.
Knocking it out of the park there, folks, anyway.
A solid lineup that's ever increasing. I love it. Good stuff.
They get it. I mean, it's just one of those. You could tell Don's a good buddy of mine. We text back and forth and gab and whatnot, and dude, he's so amicable to my stupid ideas of just crap you come up with, you know? I'm just like, okay, what if we tried this? And it works, so he is definitely a musky guy. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. It's like, it's a passion project for him. So if you do have an idea, if you got some freaking bait rattling in your head or you need X, Y, and Z, call him. He's cool. Anyway, let's do some Q&A. Dave! I was listening to your podcast about the crayfish spawn. Is it possible that there could have been suckers up there feeding on the crayfish also as a main course? Long time listener, first time caller. So he's referring to, I don't know if it was last week, it all blurs together, but I had one of the best musky days of my life. And I went back and did some inspection and found a ton of crayfish in the area. David, in that scenario, I was so intrigued. That night after, as he is my witness, I called Dr. Bob. I was like, dude, here's what happened. Here's how many fish I caught. Here's how big they were. What's your thought? Because I could not find a bait fish. And when the bite died, I scanned every inch of that freaking place. Only thing I found was crayfish. So that, as far as that chapter and that moment in time, I could not find any bait fish present. I actually went back the next day and checked. I couldn't find anything that was happening as far as bait fish other than crayfish. It is what it is. Maybe that's a possibility. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. At that point, you just kind of compartmentalize it and go, well, I hope that happens again. That'd be nice. Larry,
yeah.
Spring fishing question. If you're getting falls on small bucktails but no hookups, would you change baits or stay with the bucktails? Jay, that's up your alley.
It's up my alley? What do you mean?
I don't know.
I don't either. No, of course you're going to change. You got to make
night,
some adjustments here, baby.
Say goodnight. We don't know. I have such little experience musky fishing that question is above my pay grade, and I quit.
I think we've all been there. This isn't working. It's still not working. They're not biting today.
You say okay. That? Yeah. Okay. I called you yesterday. I called Jay every day because if not, he gets nervous.
Sometimes I answer the phone. And I just say, what?
What? Stop calling. No, we bullshit every day. And I called you yesterday when I say, I had more freaking follows than the deck of my boat. Look like the musky shop got a delivery from the Unabomber. it was like Ted Kaczynski style. Every bait I owned was laying on the deck from the 500 Booker tails to I threw everything. Me and my clients threw everything. I had more follows than I'm comfortable saying on air.
Right. And they were all responsible for continued follows, right? I mean, even as you're like, changing out types, right?
Oh, it just was one of those days where you're just like, in my own head, you're going, well, what would the guys on the podcast say? Right? Like, I'm trying to tap into, like, there's God Steve and Podcast Steve. God Steve's way more dry, by the way. Figuratively and literally. But in my brain, I'm going, okay, they just followed single eight. Let's take it down a notch. Let's take it down a notch. Let's do this. Let's do that. Okay, they're not eating that. Let's take it to a hellhound. They're not doing that. Hell puppy. All right, they're not doing that. Tap dancer. I could not pick a bait that would get eaten. And it would be like, okay, everybody throw this, 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 and this. Basically, I'm passing down the boat, the last bait that gets followed. And at a certain point, like, son of a gun, we're down to it. Finally, and it would, and I don't believe it had anything to do with the bait. You know, I'm shameless in some aspects, but we got a fish on a Titan Junior, and it wasn't because, I don't think it's because of Titan Junior. I think it's because he just went, stop messing with me. You know what I'm saying? You just finally like just got one where you're like, well, I don't know what's working, but that did. And then after that, the subsequently, there was like no pattern with it. It was just, oh, that one bit. And it happens. But in the general circumstance, if we're getting a lot of follows on small bucktails but no hookups, I'm going to go from a small bucktail to something like the Slammer Fatty Minnow or a Joe Booker Shallow Raider or the Titan Junior or a small glider, right? Those would be your options in the spring. But I guess my brain gravitated to the day of follow hell that I had the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's days, and you guys will have when you'll be on the water, and you're like, oh, I had 28 follows. And you just feel worse than getting none. You're like, oh. But there's some days they'll move on everything, but they won't eat anything, and you just got to keep going through the box. But for general and spring fishing, small bucktails are not working. Small glide baits, small crank baits, that would be the ticket, I would say. On to the next, Jay.
Probably the first thing I'd try after that, too. I agree.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mark.
You know.
Mark's target of muskies in a mid-depth range, Jay. It's 18 to 14 feet, clear water conditions. Finally landed my first artificial lure caught muskie in that range using the Kraken. Thank you.
Cool.
What other lures should I try in that depth range as a Kraken with the smallest weight is nearly the only thing turning heads? Thinking about buying 2 to 3 deep. Buy more Krakens. Sorry, I'm teasing. I went from not shameless about the Titan. Buy as many Krakens as you can. Daddy needs a new Camaro. So Kraken's doing it. The only thing that's getting me looks 18 to 14. Think about buying 2 to 3 deep cranks. Any recommendations? 8 to 14 on the cast is what it sounded like, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at if Kraken's getting looks and you caught a fish, congratulations. He smacked him on the Kraken, Jay. Don't be shy of other rubber. You know, Jay mentioned toothy tough, maybe a toothy tough assault eel or maybe a bulldog, or maybe that's just not jiving for you. But he asked specifically for crankbaits to 8 to 14, which puts us in a narrow band of what, the Reef Digger from Tom LeBeau.
Yeah, Big Fork Reef Diggers.
He'll leave the boat on for you. Isn't that his slogan? I think this, folks, this is Tom LeBeau. I'll leave the boat on for you.
No.
Oh, it's Tom Baudette. My bad.
Yeah, a different guy. They're both from Minnesota, though.
They're fair enough. So the Reef Digger. What? Okay, here it is. Boom, 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 boom. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It took me a second. Countdown, Booker Depth Raider.
Oof.
A foot a second countdown. Now, what I would do if you're fishing at edges 8 to 14, fish it laterally with a countdown crankbait. That's going to be the ticket. So count if you need to hit 8 feet, count it down to say, you know, 4, and then crank it, make bottom contact, rip it up. What other stuff kind of work in the crank?
But the suspending depth rater is deadly too in that case. You rip, rip, stop, and it just hangs there.
Or a triple D.
Yep. The triple 1800 D. Cisco kid. Ooh.
Jeez, calm down. That grossed me out, man. I didn't know Cisco kids did that to you. Folks, watch out if you're in the Suic aisle and Jay's working. Those would be some options there. You know, if the Kraken, you whack fish on the Kraken, don't be shy checking out of the rubber baits during that. Or just throw more Krakens because they work. Corey, are there any tactics or modification to do with Bondi baits, especially the original Bondi, that can increase the percentage of fish landed? They're crushing them for us opening weekend, but we end up losing four, all that came off after 10 to 20 seconds. Hooks were sharp, and teeth marks on the bait indicated they were getting a lot of rubber and hooks. Thanks, guys, for the podcast. So, my Bondi baits, what I've done with them is I was using a hook that's no longer... Did they show up the BKKs yet, Jay?
I think they're coming in tomorrow.
Okay, so... For a lot of years, I had been using a wide gap 7-aught hook that is no longer made on my Bondis. So it is short shank. That thing was like short with a super wide gap on a Bondi bait. You couldn't miss them. We lost those hooks. They stopped making them. Now Jay and Tom and the guys at the Musky Shop and Jim Belay, they've got a special order of BKK.
Yeah, wait till you see these things. They're awesome.
Which, those are a European hook. My buddy Tim turned me on to. And they are, let me put it this way. Be very judicious with your Smitty file on these things. Right? You don't go at a BKK hook like you're grinding down a moustad, as they call them. Right? Don't go at it. It's a very, very sharp hook. You just need to clean them up a bit. They're wicked good. Super strong. So the best trick for a Bondi bait is get a wide gap, 6, 5, 7, a bigger hook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first and foremost, bury them into the body of the bait. So take one of the points and bury it in the body, right? Front and back. The next thing is this. You better have a stiff rod. And all I need to say to Cisco Kid to Jay, and he'll almost get there. But we need a very stiff rod. So when I'm dedicated jigging for muskies, I'm using my 9-foot extra heavy musky shop rod. I'm not using the 9.6. I'm not using freaking heavy. I'm using a 9-foot extra heavy rod, right? The shorter the rod, the better. You could get away with an 8-foot extra heavy, but I want the heaviest rod that I have, the shortest rod that I have. And when I'm setting the hook, it is the hardest hook set that I can give them, right? It's very similar to that of a sucker hook set, straight up and just...
Sure.
Just...
Yeah, it's a soft plastic bait. They're grabbing the bait, and you got to move that bait. You got to move the hooks.
Can you hear the minergy in that scream, Jay? That mm-hmm. man energy.
It's pretty exciting.
Whoa, dude. Calm down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, give that fish the minergy. Hit him as hard as you can.
Yep.
And I'm not afraid to. I think we did a Bondi bait video last year. I've watched one of the clips I have. Bondi fish are some of the few fish that I'm not afraid to kind of double tap. Almost like a sucker.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to give him a double tap, you know? Boom. Make sure he's dead. Headshot. Double tap. Pow, pow. Minergy. Hit him as hard as you can. And don't be out there with your medium, heavy, or your flexi rod. Just translate as much power to that fish's face as you can. Bigger hooks. And you need to be thinking about that bait. It's an 8-inch bait, right? So you need to move at least double the bait length to really make sure we're there. You've got to really hammer him. Now, if fish are hitting it and coming up, you got to reel into them, and that's a different angle. But most of those fish hit down, and it's a devastating hit. Big old wide BKK hooks, and give them the minergy. Jay, speaking of minergy.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the Musky Shop Bash July 20th?
I'm getting there.
Are you ready to – how much hog sauce are you going to drink in one day?
I'm going to be drinking hog sauce all day. I'm excited about the PA. Got kind of a new PA going, and can set that up, and it's going to sound great, and everyone will be able to hear everything when we wander around and talk with all the vendors and all the cool things going on.
What they don't realize is we're putting together an ultimate playlist to play at the bash. It's all mm-hmm. Christopher Cross songs.
Sailing takes me away.
but they're all covered by me and Jay. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, well, we can bring the stage out one more time.
One more time. It's time to ride again, but not tonight. Say goodnight, Jaybird.
Say goodnight.